Praise the Lord. Okay, today, who wants to come up first, testify, and declare what God did and said? We have a microphone up here. We just have you come up, and we will go from there. Yes, come on. Come up, Larry. You had an incredible moment when we started prayer today.
I was at two of the prayer times, the early one, and I get there about 7:45. I'm not spiritual enough for 6 in the morning. But at any rate, the Lord accepts that. And we had a great time. And I'll just share one thing about it, because I want to talk about the other time, too, in the next section of time. We were talking a lot about Song of Songs. And there were two ladies that came to visit us that Diana invited. And they were really into the things we were talking about. And so I shared about something with the Song of Songs where I'd never liked that book. I didn't like reading it. I knew what it was about. I mean, I like the book. I like everything in the Bible. But I wasn't comfortable. I shouldn't use that word. Don't like it. I wasn't comfortable being the Shulamite woman. I know it's the church, but I kind of wasn't comfortable with that. And so then the Lord told me a couple of weeks ago, and I shared it here, that he wants a congregation that's lovesick over him. I got lovesick. Is that in the Bible? And so I shared it in an early session a couple of weeks ago, and Larry found it in the Bible. And where was it? Song of Songs. So we started talking about Song of Songs. And Larry really knows a lot about that. He's a real romantic. And then Chris Dickering gave me a book called The Sacred Journey. He said, "Here, Larry, you need help." And I started reading it, and wow, you know, it was a nice buffer to understand. And then I would read the commentary, and then I'd go into the Word. So I've been studying it, and I'm only in the first two chapters, and I'm finding all kinds of things that I can use, particularly using the Passion Bible version. And one of them is, I consider myself like an exhorter as part of my ministry. And in the Passion, chapter 1, verse 5, the Shulamite starts telling him how worthless she is, she feels. He listens to it, and then he looks at her and he says, "And yet, you're altogether lovely." And I thought, wow, that explains it. That explains it, how God looks at us in spite of all these things. And then I found other things. His banner over us is love. He invites us to the banqueting table. Yeah, I know that song, yeah. And then he's chapter 2, he's leaping over mountains for her. So anyway, I get a lot out of that book. So the point that I want to finally get to, these two young ladies, they're millennials, and they're really enjoying it. And then I said, hey, if the Lord can get an engineer to like the Song of Songs, he can do anything. And they cracked up. They were almost on the floor laughing. I figured, hey, maybe I should be a comedian. You know, this is pretty good. But then I found out that Song of Songs is their favorite book, and one of them has written a commentary about it. I don't know if it's published or not, but she's written a whole commentary on the Song of Songs. And the Lord had us discussing it for so long in front of these ladies, you know. Amazing. And getting over to the second one, there were two things I want to share. Pastor Steve was really giving himself to the Lord and the service, the Sunday service and other things, and just asking the Lord to lead it and to be there and humbling himself before the Lord. I love that. And so that was a highlight. And then another one was Wes Munson is going to Chicago, I think, tomorrow. And he's coming back Sunday night. He's here, yeah. The Lord told me he wants the church to become outrageous for him. And I'm thinking, of the people I know, Wes is the poster child for that, for being outrageous. And so we prayed for his trip to Chicago, and we came up with some pretty good things. And the whole time was good, but those are the two. Those are the things that I wanted to share.
Okay, so now, Larry, I want you to release that. Pray it. Yeah. Bless everyone. Just declare.
Okay, Lord, first I release the Song of Songs into men. Lord, move the men to see it. There's so much in there, Lord, and an openness to what you're saying in all aspects of the word, Lord, that we can learn from everything, Lord. And I release that lovesickness again into this congregation. He wants whole congregations. There are individuals that are lovesick, and they have been for years. He wants whole congregations to be lovesick.
Every heart.
And boy, the Song of Songs is a good one. To propagate that, to encourage that, Lord. So I release that into Jubilee. And then I release Pastor Steve's heart to follow the Holy Spirit, and Diana also. And Lord, that, and I'm sure Brian wasn't there, so I didn't include him, but I know he would be part of that too, Pastor Brian. And so Lord, I release that into Jubilee, that we will have a congregation that's led by the Spirit. We may not get out on time. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to make any reservations for dinner, you know, because I don't know how long anything's going to take now, because we're just coming into a new era. And I give you praise for it, and I thank you for it, and I receive it for Jubilee. I receive everything you want to do, and we're excited about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Wes, come on up. Yeah, wow, thank you, Larry. That was great. Why don't you let everyone know you're taking off to Chicago real brief so we can keep you in prayer for that.
Hello, Jubilee. So we have an exciting conference that we get to do. It's called the Save America Conference in Chicago, and it's going into the different mountains of influence, and the one mountain that I get to be a part of is the Education Mountain. And a young man that just graduated the Minnesota high schools, me and him are going to do a skit together, and then he's going to raise from the dead like Elijah, laying on the boy in the upper room, and he's going to share what happened in the public school system that killed him. And then we're going to unveil what it looks like to go into the public schools and preach the gospel and set up Bible clubs, and then also to empower homeschool moms and start your own schools. So it's exciting to be able to give people the keys and the tools to be able to equip them to be able to do these works, because we haven't been in the schools for about a year and about 3 months, I guess you could say now. And what happened was at Grace's school, we had the opportunity at her preschool to share, and then all the kids gave their life to Christ. And today we were at the park, the Camarillo Community Center park, and I asked this teacher, they have the kids at, I don't know what type, is it like your daughter, she was a nurse, and mm-hmm. then they have them at like certain community centers or places like that, because it's not necessarily a school, but I'm not sure why the children are at the community center, if it's some sort of like an extra thing besides a normal school. But I asked the teacher today, because they all came out to the play yard, I said, can I share my testimony? We're usually in the schools, and I'd love to share my testimony with the children. And she said, go ahead. So all of a sudden, the door opened, and all these young children are all up in the monkey bars and everywhere just listening. And I started to just share, and they were just locked in. And one kid was sharing, like, my parents don't believe in God, and I don't know if God's alive. Are you really telling the truth and stuff? But it was good, because it was getting in there, and he was thinking. And then the interesting thing is Micah was up there, little Micah, 21-month-old, and his knees were in the like in the bars, and they got caught. So I had to get like some lotion to pour it out to get him unlocked from that. So it was kind of a dynamic moment with a bunch of young children. But it's exciting because God's doing something, and he opened up a lady's heart. And I'm not sure if she was a believer, but she truly opened the door for us. So it's amazing. So I'll just share really quick. the Elijah Upper Room story really quick, and then the Elijah Upper Room story, and then we're going to pray into it, just because God's been speaking to me about upper rooms. So in 1 Kings 17, this is the Elijah Upper Room story. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, this is 1 Kings 17:20. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." And then in 2 Kings, 2 Kings 4, we're going to go to
praise you, Lord.
Verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house again, went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. So, Father, I just want to agree right now that you are calling mamas and papas into the upper room to sprawl out on sons and daughters.
Yes.
That you are calling mamas and papas to lay down on these ones that have lost themselves because of delusion, because of confusion, because of indoctrination, but there is a solution. And the solution is your people that are called by your name, that humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek your face. You would not only forgive sin, but you would heal the land. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that the land is being healed. Earthen vessels.
Yes.
Vessels that have been marred from the image of God, from taking on other images, from the counterfeit ideologies that have been propagated through the airwaves and all the indoctrination, even at a young age. But we declare that mamas and papas sprawled out in the upper room are bringing resuscitation to these ones. Mm-hmm. Divine intervention, yes, Lord, that these ones will not only rise from the dead, but they will go out and do likewise, that life from the dead will flow from them, and they will go out to their generation and begin to prophesy that dry and dead things that are lifeless and spread out can unite, and the bones will rattle and come back together. An exceedingly great army will arise from your breath that you're breathing into a generation, from mothers and fathers that are turning their hearts to their children, and the children that are turning their hearts to the fathers, so the curse would be reversed. We declare it now that there is the spirit and power of Elijah beginning to be poured out in a measure never known before, greater than the measure of the forerunner that prepared the way of the Lord, John the Baptist. This one was beheaded, and he had a decrease so that Christ can increase. But we thank you for the forerunner company right now that are preparing the return of the Lord, the forerunner company that are like Mary with their alabaster box, breaking it at the glorified feet of the Son, preparing him for his return, and lying down in that place of intercession
intercession and crying out for a generation to arise and shine. We just give you glory that you're moving on the hearts of mamas and papas to go to the upper room, to go to the place where death crept in and lay down and cry out for resurrection life. In the name of Jesus, we declare that a generation that's been manipulated, that's been called by every name, now is being called by your name.
Yes.
And now the spirit of truth is going to lead them into all truth and break this delusion and this confusion because of this great love for the truth that they will have. We know that a generation that has more options than any other generation can make a lot of decisions because of those options. But how powerful it is amongst many options when they make a decision to wholeheartedly follow you, pledge their allegiance unto you, and turn their back on everything that's trying to sway them and take them away from you. We call forth the seed right now that was sown in the ground that did not abide alone, the firstborn from the dead, this one that started a new creation, and we declare the life-giving spirit right now upon mothers and fathers to begin to breathe in the young people and call them in to the fullness of who they really are in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Come up, Diana. I love this verse where you, in 17, 1 Corinthians 17, pulling on that. This is what happens in a prayer, is that you will all hear the Lord start amplifying. Elijah prayed, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down to the upper room, into the house, and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is the truth. That's what's coming upon the land. Amen.
We were praying about the church this morning and how when the Spirit of the Lord moves, it's not us that does anything. It's to bring God's righteousness. It's all about him. He's the one building his church. He's the one revealing Jesus. We're the receivers. And as we were praying for that, and we were asking God to activate his body where everyone would step in and take their place, taking ownership, like in the prayer. So you're asking, it's not just a thing for the guys, women, come and pray as well, commit to 5 hours a week. So it's about the whole body stepping in, taking ownership of what the Lord's doing in here, but not ownership in the sense that we begin to control what he's doing. Ownership in the sense that I sense his spirit where can I step in to help? It's like, oh, we've got all these people pouring in the door. Maybe I'll go stand by the door and help greater. You know, it's just a place of like, wow, we've got more activity in the cafe. I know how to make potato salad. We were praying that all of us would just take ownership of this place as our home so that the work wouldn't be on a few, but it would be light work on everyone at the same time. And in that, what the Lord began to bring to me is he showed me that we're being gentled, and I'll explain that. As part of the leadership team here at the church, whenever God begins to move in our midst, I'm always like, okay, what is that going to look like? How do we shepherd that well? How do we steward that well? How do we prepare ourselves to step in for increase in a way that doesn't trigger, well, my fear might get triggered, and in my fear getting triggered, how do I not step into control? How do I keep yielding? And what he said is it's really about being trained to hear my voice, that everything is going to be governed by the hearing of my voice. And he showed me a horse with blinders on, or blinkers they're called, where the horse is not able to look to the right or to the left, because they have a task once they're in the reins and those blinkers are on to look straight ahead. They only know to look to the right or to the left if the person, the rider, the person driving them moves them to look to the right or to the left. And he showed me a team of horses. And when you have a team of horses, the person in charge of that team actually has each rein in between their fingers. And each rein controls one horse. And so with the slight movement of one finger, that horse receives the signal to turn to the right or to the left. That it's a very subtle art. Mm-hmm. And that it has to do with that horse being trained in the midst of running, in the midst of charging, that if that rein has the slightest movement, even in the running, they respond to the one who holds those reins. They're not holding them with strong fists in both hands. They are placed between each of the fingers. It's a very intimate and intricate art form. And the Lord showed me that that is what he is training us for. And when you get a wild horse or a wild Mustang, there are two ways to make that horse respond. You can break the horse or you can gentle the horse. And the Lord said, I would rather gentle you, but you must bring me your brokenness. If you refuse to bring me your brokenness, then I have to break you. But if you will bring me your brokenness and submit there, then I will gentle you. And so thus wow. the reins in the fingers. It's a very subtle, tender, time-staking process that he uses. And because we're being trained like the horse to yield our brokenness to his love. The blinkers on our eyes are to keep us looking straight ahead until he tells us to look to the right or to the left. The reins held between the fingers of the rider, where one finger determines which horse moves and which way, is us being yielded together in communion with one another, in communion with the Lord. That it's all about intimacy. And if we allow the fear of the Lord, if we pray for the fear of the Lord to come upon us in this moment, that when the movement of the Lord overtakes us, our stance will be a stance of humility. As it increases, as the work increases, because the masses are coming, he showed me again a shepherd, not like Old Testament with the crook. He showed me a guy who owns a bunch of sheep on a ranch, I guess that's cattle, pastures for sheep. But he had the sheep dog, and he had his hand on the dog. And the dog, if you've seen those Australian shepherds, they were born to shepherd. They're born to chase and move things, which is why they chase bicycles and children and planes and the postman. But they're, as they come under the shepherd's care, they learn to take all that energy, like, I gotta go chase the sheep, and to be still. Mm-hmm. And they must learn to be still, because otherwise they will do their own thing in the moment of need. They'll watch the sheep doing whatever, and they will try to control the sheep. And the Lord was showing me, your job is to yield to my hand until you learn to yield to my voice. So that when I say go, you go. When I say stay, you stay. It doesn't matter what the sheep are doing unless I've given you direction to go. And so I just see, again, with the horse in training, with the shepherd with his hand on the sheepdog, learning to yield to his voice, not to the urgency of the moment. This is what will keep us in humility as the harvest comes. And lastly, he showed me a father with his hand on the head of his son or daughter, teaching them again, trust my voice, learn my voice, and trust my voice. Do not react to the circumstances. Do not react to the need. Always be listening for my voice. And then we're going to be exactly where we need to be, doing what he needs us to do. And it's going to be constant and consistent probably every moment of the day as it gets really exciting. But I'm really excited because I know it's getting really exciting. Another thing that was happening today was also songs of deliverance coming forward, and I'm going to let other people talk about that.
Amen. But pray. You gave us all kinds of great vision. Now release.
Dear Jesus, stay. Thank you, God. Thank you for pictures. that help us to understand what you're doing and what you're about to do. I receive your voice and I receive the command to stay and to wait on you. And Lord, I release that grace to our body. As you increase what you're doing, as you begin to send the lost and the hungry and the scary to our midst, Lord, I see them in massive numbers. But we're always to be yielding to your voice, responding to your voice, rooted and grounded in love and trust and faith, in communion with one another, following your voice. And I thank you for that grace. I receive it and I release it to our body in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Amen, Becky. Yeah, come on, that's great.
We prayed from 2 to about 6. I've asked whoever was here during that time to come on up and share. Wes, we're gonna keep each one to a minute or under because there's a few of us. The Lord was moving, having us, exactly what Diana was praying about, our inner self. We kept wanting to go out and pray for the outer stuff, but he kept bringing us in. Pastor Brian, you had a really good thing happen. Oh, okay. And it was awesome, but everybody had something different, and I just asked them, just in a minute or less, release what God gave you.
There was a really cool, we started praying for the generations, like millennials and younger, and there was a cool repentance moment that happened where I think Wes started talking about how there's been like an uncovering of nakedness instead of a covering for both generations, both sides, us uncovering the older generation and the older generation kind of uncovering the nakedness of the younger generation. And there was such a cool just repentance that came forth. And it was like after that repentance and that time, we started feeling strongly, like we just started calling out different groups of people. Like we started praying for homosexuals. We started praying for people that were victims of abuses. And we started praying for the abusers. And it was almost like it opened up this like level of trust in heaven or something, where it was like, cool, like pray for all these people that are on my heart. Now that you are in a place of covering and not uncovering, like lift up these people that are so near and dear to my heart. So yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, and so Father, oh, I thank you, God. I thank you for all the beautiful people that you're bringing in. And God, I just, I thank you that you're releasing a heart like yours, God, and I pray for a heart like yours, God, where we can be in a place of genuine love and where we hear your heartbeat and say what you're saying and do what you're doing, and where people can see Jesus through us, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. 1 minute. Sorry, we're...
Okay. Yeah. Okay. For me, I was Psalms 126 talks about the captivities in Zion, that the Lord's bringing him back, the captivities to Zion, and they're coming back with laughter and joy, and the Lord has been doing that for me within this past, gosh, 3 weeks, just in my closet, just laughter and laughter and laughter and laughter. And then just, and I mean, it's just like uncontrollable laughter. And I said, oh my gosh, Lord. And then, because he's healing me, you know, he's healing stuff in me. And so he says, do you want more? I said, yes. He goes, okay. More, so he puts more, so I'm laughing even louder and louder, you know. So I believe in Jesus' name that is happening now to the body of Christ. There's such a laughter of joy from from those who've been mourning and grieved and fear that they'll be delivered from all that, because laughter is good as medicine. So I declare and decree that they will all rise up with laughter and joy. And I thank you, Father God, I decree and declare this for the body of Christ of Jubilee and an online, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Did it.
Okay, so real quick, we started off at 10 o'clock, and Larry had a word, and it was just a small little point after we had started praying, and he said that God was washing our opinions, and then, right, in his blood. And then Pastor had come in and gave the scripture out of 2 Corinthians 10, and it says, and starting in verse 7, do you look at the things according to the outward? And I know he kept reading, but I stopped there, and God just, it was like it lit up on the page, and I said, God, I do. I look at the outward. I get stuck in the outward appearances, and that. So by the time he finished reading, I pulled myself out of my conversation and into it. He was at verse 12, and it says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves to those who condemn themselves or commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves, are not wise. And so all day long, I've been between those two verses saying, God, it's an outward appearance that causes us to get stuck in a measuring and in a comparison. It's a judgment that it's a place that we hold, and it causes us to get hung up and held in that. So then we were at the end. It was almost 5:30 when we were starting to close down, and Becky just had closed a prayer and had made a comment about a place where yesterday she got hung up in her opinion of a situation that caused her to get into a place of anger. It was public, so I'm just saying it. But in that, at that point, God released John 20:23 that says, if you'll forgive someone else's sins, then they'll be forgiven. But if you'll retain, then they'll be retained. And I heard the Lord say, it's in that retaining is held there by the comparison and by that outward appearance. So, Father, I want to release to your people. I want to release the grace to step into a new place that's not held by an outward appearance, that's not holds in a judgment or a comparison, but it steps into the completeness that is in us, that is in Christ, that holds us and gives us the ability to forgive all things and to release and let go. So I release that onto our body and onto the body of Christ, the ability to be free to forgive and not held in the place of the outward appearance. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And then in 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love will cast off fear. So the perfect love is activating each one of us to do his service. You're going to just sense the spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 61 has fallen upon us because you are allowing the perfect love to activate in your whole being. The song of deliverance, just like Yolanda was saying, the laughter. So, Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that perfect love is cast out all fear, Father, and that we lay that aside, because now we are now living a new beginning, a new way, Father. The wave of your glory is just falling upon us, because, Lord, with you, Jesus, is perfect love. And so we thank you. We saw the demonstration this Sunday that everyone was just doing their part. And Lord, it's just so exciting. It's another party, yeah. another celebration. When yeah. you were yeah. here on earth, that's all you want to do is party and celebrate because your perfect love showed up in everybody, every joint. There is no Father's being stuck. We just flowed. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the new beginning.
Amen.
And then very quickly, I'll just say we had a time of warfare that was not planned. It was nothing that originated with any one person. It was a sound that came in as we praised God and made him giant. There was a warfare chant. Wes and I started, I think, with really releasing warfare, and then it just came like butter. It was so easy. We knew the Lord was doing a mighty work in here. I really invite you, if you have time on Wednesday, if you're able, come to pray at any time during the day. The reward is crazy off the charts. Pastor started today with saying God is releasing fresh hope today, right now. And we had gotten earlier Psalm 103:4-6, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed. And that that word youth, I looked it up because the Lord said, look it up in the concordance, and I did. And it doesn't mean he's going to take all your wrinkles away or he's going to make your white hair. I mean, it may, but what this one meant is he will restore childlikeness to each one of us. Not childishness, but childlikeness. Yeah. And the Lord said, I am bringing my people back, as we had been praying against a lot of stuff that happened to us as kids that in the natural form who we are right now. God totally was reversing that, and he says, no. Break agreement with past heritages and start coming into the knowledge of I am in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things really have passed away. So if things happened to you as a child, they didn't happen to you. They happened to that one back there. And he's restoring that childlikeness. And then he brought us over to Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall, wait a minute, yeah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord yes. shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever noticed, how can I mount up on a wing of an eagle and walk or run? It doesn't happen. Because when you're on an eagle's wing, you are gliding. He's carrying you. It's his strength. He will renew our strength, meaning him. We will start operating in his strength, not ours. And I really felt, and you could feel the presence of God in the room. You could feel something happening. We knew that people were praying for healings, deliverances, all of that, and we were experiencing it right in the room. So I released that to each one of us, whether you were in the room or not in the room, because we called it out for everybody. We called it out for a sinner, saint, every single person. And Father God, we release the ability to walk in the freedom and in the strength of the Lord, to yes. forget about yes. the past and concentrate on him. Like Diana said, putting those blinkers on our eyes, keeping our eyes on the face of God, and we are mounting up with wings yes. like eagles. Eagles, I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. You are doing an impossible work, Father God, that only you could do, that we can't, even though we try our hardest to be strong. I thank you, Father God, that there was a holy exchange that happened today. Yes. I believe that exchange is happening today in the body of Christ, in you, in me, in all of us. And we are not the same. We are different in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. 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 Come on up, Nicole.
So I'm going to piggyback off of Becky because she's carrying something in what she shared. There's an anointing. I came tonight because of Instagram, Facebook. It said something about miracles. And how can you not come when there's miracles? So an experience I had during worship, it was not the way you might have thought it would come, because we tend to think that we need a man to lay hands on us. We need to have some form of something for Jesus to heal us. No, God came in a way, and it seemed like I was just crying, and I went to the bathroom, and God did something so special in me. I've had trouble with my vision because of my health diagnosis, and I felt like I could see myself for the first time in so long, like my real self, and I just felt like God is saying that that's the first fruit of so much more, and it's not going to come the way that we think it is, and it's not going to come through man necessarily, and to just come openly and expectant. And during the worship and the adoration, the Holy Spirit is coming in new ways. There's deeper levels. There's so much more. There's so much being released in this hour through this body. The cultivation has come. The new wine is here. So arise and shine, for your light has come. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Whoa, yeah. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Nicole. That is so true. Oh, yes, come on in. Come on. See, this is what happens. This is so good. And this is why we get together, because you can't be here for 12 hours, but we can get all 12-hour benefits. So go ahead. Helen.
Thank you.
No, keep standing up, then she won't be too long.
Oh, well, you better sit down. This is a prophecy that I got from the Passion Translation this Monday, but I believe it spoke to my heart, but I know it's going to speak to you guys. I believe it's for the body. It says, it is time for your giants to fall. Get ready to be undone, completely and totally undone. Wrecked by my outrageous love. And that's what we're all saying, yeah. Right? That is being released in your life. You will be amazed by what I'm about to do for you. It's time for your giants to fall. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. I have watched as you stood on shaking legs that felt like they couldn't take another step. Though the enemy works to steal, kill, and destroy, my glory has made you strong. It is time for you to see what I can do. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. It's time for you to cross the threshold of opposition and step into the joy of breakthrough. Now is the time to be joyfully expectant, to allow yourself to be filled and with anticipation. It's time to be confident, not because I do everything the way you think I will, but because you trust me to do my way. And anchor yourself in my promises. And soon you'll see the fruit of what I already put into action behind the scenes. You will be astounded at the victory I am releasing and pleasantly bewildered by the way I bring things to pass. The scripture for that was Psalms 34, 6 and 7 through the Passion Translation. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it most. That's Nicole today, right? The angel of Yahweh stooped down to listen as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. He will do this for everyone who fears God.
Yes.
I want to share a little bit, Pastor.
No, you got. We're past our time. Okay. Just release the blessing. Give us interpretation. Just release the blessing.
Lord,
we'll get it.
I just release your the everything that right now that I read through this prophecy, Father. I just release it to the body of Christ and the family of Christ right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I know that many are seeing it happening already, Lord. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next Wednesday, you can go first. All right, blessing to all of us here. Pray. We had a lot of prayer into Father's Day coming up. Something wonderful is coming on Sunday of a manifestation and glory of God. Lord, we bless and position our hearts to be blessed as you begin this service and throughout the day by the great high priest Jesus Christ, to come alive, to come forward, to be caught and brought out of wherever we've been taken captive to and brought fully into the liberty that you've made us free to be in. And we call it forth in miraculous, constant ways. Anoint our hours of prayer until they grow the sound that you have ready to people to receive the fullness of the outpouring of your Spirit that you have now declared is in motion. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Blessings, everyone. Blessing online. We love you and thank you for staying with us through the service.